I want to try to understand the first line of the Haggadah, if we can. Halach ma'anya di'achalo avasana bi'ara dimitzrayim. So the... The first question is, just why do we say it at the very beginning of the Haggadah? Why don't we start with Manishtana, which we do soon afterwards, which makes sense. Why do we start with this introductory? So the Rishonim here have two pshatim, Shibalei Lekin and others have two pshatim. One possibility is that it's not really shaykh and part of Magad, it's really shaykh to Yachatz, right? Kadesh, Orchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Yachatz, we break it in half. Why do we break it in half? So the reason we break it in half is because lechem oni, just like an oni eats half of it and saves half for later, we have to break it in half and save half for later. So really, it's the end of yachatz. We're explaining why we broke it in half, because it's lach ba'anya. But the Shibbol Elek and the other Rishonim bring another pshat, that there's a different drasha on lechem oni, is lechem she'onim alav dvarim harbe. It could be it's a lumdish point. Part of the kiyum of matzah, that you have to say the onim alav dvarim harbe, you have to say the haggadah on the matzah. So what does it mean to say the Haggadah on the matzah? So le'ikuva, you have to say the Haggadah when the matzah is present on the table. But l'chachila, you have to explain, you have to be mitzarif the Haggadah to the matzah. How are we mitzarif the Haggadah to the matzah? Before we even start the Magid, it's the introduction to Magid, we have to say halach ma'anya, this is the lechem that we're onim alav dvarim harbe, in order to show that everything we're saying should go on the matzah and to be mekayim that lumdish idea of tzeirif between the matzah and the Haggadah. So those are two possible reasons why we could say it here. But on a deeper level, we want to ask, what does it mean, halach ba'anya di'achalo avasana ba'ara dimitzrayim? What are we referring to? This is the lechem oni that our ancestors ate in Eretz Mitzrayim. And this is a very, very, very fundamental machlokes rishonim. Just a pshat, what do we mean? When did our ancestors eat matzah in Eretz Mitzrayim? One pshat is quoted by the Orchas Chaim and the Avudraham on the Haggadah in the name of someone named Rav Yosef HaIzori, Perish Rav Yosef HaIzovi, who's quoting the Ibn Ezra. He says, what does it mean, halach ba'ani de'achol avasana Mitzrayim? When are Avosenu were in Mitzrayim, when they were slaves for 210 years in Mitzrayim, or for how many years they were slaves in Mitzrayim, they ate matzah. Slaves eat matzah. And they quote that the Ibn Ezra writes that he was once captured in India by pirates, and you know, until the Jewish community redeemed you, you were a slave to whoever captured you. And they fed them all matzah, because matzah is slave food. The Sforno also says on the Chumash in Sefer Dvarim that lechem shayu ochlem ba'oni, when they were enslaved in Mitzrayim. So the Sforno in this, Rav Yosef Eizovi, it says that when they were enslaved in Mitzrayim, they ate matzah for all those years of slavery. Why did they eat matzah for all those years of slavery? So Rav Yosef HaIzovi, who's again quoted by the Avudraham and the Orchas Chaim on the Haggadah, says because it's this is obvious because it's a very cheap food, and because ikasha ve'enemus akel b'mheira, v'yasvi v'menu ma'at. It's hard, as we know nowadays, people complain it doesn't digest very easily. For the slaves, you give them a little hard food, doesn't digest easily, so they don't need to eat so often, and you just give them a little food, and it's the cheapest way to feed slaves is with matzah. So like the Mitzrim chose to give them matzah because it's the cheapest, most slavery type of food. The Sforno says a slightly different variation. The Sforno says not the Mitzrim chose to give them matzah when they were in Mitzrayim. They were responsible for their own food. They chose, not like when the Ibn Ezra was captured by pirates. They chose to bake matzah when they were slaves in Eretz Mitzrayim. Or they chose. They had no choice because, as nowadays in the modern world, everyone gets an hour lunch break. In those days, slaves got minimum lunch break, right? So what did slaves get? They got a 5-minute lunch break, and even then they got whipped a little. So in a 5-minute lunch break, what are you able to do? You can't bake bread because you have to wait for it to rise. Right, so if they were chick-chack, you ever see in these places where they do things the old-fashioned way, in Yael, whatever, they make pizzas the old-fashioned way, you make the whole thing in like a minute, and you eat it really quickly, you wolf it down, and then you get back to your work. So because they had no time, they ate matzah when they were slaves in Mitzrayim. This Forno is a very, very interesting ha'ara, because this is a big theme that the Rav liked, that what ultimately, what does a slave not have? Right, what does it mean to be an Eved? So the Sforno here is hinting at, an Eved eats matzah. Why? Because matzah, you have no time. What does an Eved primarily not have? We know he doesn't have nechassim, ashikana Eved kana rabo. But the Iker, he doesn't have time. An Eved doesn't own his time. Someone else owns his time. The Rav thought this is a big yesod of avdus. The Rav was very convinced that the Iker of avdus was not sort of the internal spiritual aspect of avdus, was not that someone whips you and makes you work all the time, and not that you're very poor and you don't own anything. The Iker of avdus is not having time, not being shaykh to time. An Eved is not shaykh to time, right? He doesn't have plans for what to do today and what to do tomorrow. He does whatever he's ordered to. He can't arrange what he does with his time. Someone tells him what to do all the time. He doesn't even, when he's eating, he eats this matzah, which doesn't take any time. Because a slave is mufka from time. That's why the Rav explained, what's the first mitzvah in the Torah, the beginning of the freedom of the Jews? We just learned this past Shabbos. HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. What is HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim? It means to take bailus over your time. To be the master of your time. Your koveya, your time. And that's also what we call, you know, keeping a calendar. Making a calendar can also mean like someone who like schedules what they're going to do when and plans their life and is bailam over what they're doing in life. It also means HaChodesh Zeh actually making a calendar, which goes together. HaChodesh Zeh, the Rav asked, why does Rashi in the beginning of the Chumash say the Chumash should have started HaChodesh Zeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim? Why should the Chumash, you know, it sounds like a very strange thing, a technical point. Should it start with when you make Rosh Chodesh? Shouldn't it start with Anochi Shem Lekecha? Anovi Haftulecha Kamocha, whatever it may be. Why does the sister of the Rav say, no, that's exactly the point. The first thing in the Torah is to be bailam over your time. When you're bailam over your time, then you can use your time to do mitzvos. But that's the ikar of Chiras, is to have time, and he says that's why an Eved is potter of mitzvos, Eishes Man Grama, because he's not shayach to time. The Rav also says, that's the whole point of Eved ein lo chayas, in a deeper level, right? An Eved has no yichas. What does it mean an Eved has no yichas? Like he's not related to his descendants or to his ancestors. He's not related to his parents, not related to his kids. What does that mean, said the Rav? What does it mean that an Eved is like, you know, a different kind of biological thing that where you don't have relationships between parents and kids? Says no, an Eved is biologically the same as you and I. The difference is that an Eved, what is Chayis? What is Yichus? So for the Rav, Yichus doesn't mean, right? Meaning if Yichus just means, oh, I love my kids because they're very cute, and I bring them up, and I love my parents because of everything they did for me, then okay, an Eved is just as much Yichus as everyone else. But for the Rav, no, that's just biology. It's a nice part of biology, but it's Sach HaKol biology. Yichus means that I have a relationship with my parents because I'm part of a chain and they're the previous link in that chain. And I have a relationship with my kids because I'm part of a chain of history and they're the next link in that chain. That's what yichas actually means, that I'm part of the story of time, the story of history, which is coming from someplace and going to someplace, and I'm a link in that chain, and that's what yichas means, that who passed that chain on to me and who I'm continuing that chain by passing my legacy on to. And that's what, of course, an Eved has no yichas. An Eved's not part of today's time. He's not part of 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. He's not part of making his month and making his day of making his week. And he's not part of the march of time. He's not part of history because he doesn't have any, he's not trying to contribute to history. He's not able to ask himself the question, where am I going in history? Where am I bringing the world from? And where am I bringing the world to? And what am I taking? What am I passing on? All that is what's lacking in an Eved. And therefore, it's just very befitting. We say, Lechem Oni. This is a matzah that doesn't have time. This is a bread without time. That's what Avadim ate. Avadim ate a bread without time. Now, Avadim ate a bread without time. Now that we're Bnei Chorim, we have to appreciate the significance of time, both in every moment of our day and what we do with it, making our calendar, as it were, and also in the grand march of time, where we are and what we're supposed to be doing, having a broader perspective towards the history of the world and our place within it. Okay, but that was a bit of a tangent based on these four. Now I want to get back to what we just said. We had asked a question. The question was, Halach v'anid yecholov ha-son of Arad Mitzrayim, when do they eat matzah in Eretz Mitzrayim? Rav Yosef Heizovi, quoting the Orchaz Chaim and the Avodraham and the Sforno, said they ate matzah when they were slaves. Matzah reminds us of our slavery. This explains, matzah reminds us of our slavery. This is really found in the Ramban. The Ramban says also in Dvarim Parshat Ra'in, the Parshat Amodos, that some of us lean on the last day of Yom Tovin. The Ramban says there's two themes in matzah. There's two themes in matzah. Matzah, the Ramban has a phrase, he says, Bir kan dvarim rabim, ki hizker matzah yilechem oni lahagid, ki vu oni zecher koyim mitzrayim belechem tzar mayim lachat, reminds him how poor we were in Mitzrayim, v'inei termos shnei dvarim, that we left b'chipazon, and that we were slaves. it's matzah's marami to our geula and to our shibud. Matzah has two themes within it. There's a very beautiful rugged shaver in the eighth parak of Hilchas Chametzu Matzah in the Safnas Paneach, who says he wants to say there's actually alpi lumdus. This is not just philosophy; it's lumdus. There's not just two philosophical ideas in matzah. There's two lumdish dinim in matzah. And where does he get there being two lumdish dinim in matzah? Okay, if we know anything about the sugyas, it's clear there are two lumdish dinim in matzah. One is the dinim al matzah sumurim yochluhu. When you have a carbon pesach, you eat it with matzah and maror. And the other is the dinim be'erev tochlu matzah. So even when you don't have a carbon pesach, you have to eat matzah, which is why matzah is d'oraisa b'smanaseh, even without a carbon pesach. But maror, and the other dinim matzah is only d'rabbanim b'smanaseh. Okay, the Ragat Shavar is not our topic. Actually, it's machlokas, Rambam and Ravid, whether nowadays there's still tzvei dinim, one d'oraisa, one d'rabbanan, or they didn't bother to make a d'rabbanan one if we still have one d'oraisa one. Okay, that's machlokas, Rambam, Ravid, according to the Ragat Shavar. We're not doing lumdus now. So the Ragat Shavar says, these tzvei dinim are the two these tzvei lumdish dinim are the two philosophical dinim of the Ramban. The matzah that we eat alone reminds us of geula. The matzah that we eat as background to the Korban Pesach, al matzah sumurim, is like murur. Al matzah rum yochluhu is for shibud. It reminds us of how poor we were and how oppressed we were. The ba'er of tochlu matzos is a reminder of our geula. Okay, that's the Ragat Shavar's lumdus. Let's get back to divrei hashkafa. If it's true there that the matzah reminds us of two things, it reminds us of our poverty and it reminds us of our geula, which would make sense if. You don't have to say, but you certainly would say if they ate it when they were Avadim and Mitzrayim, then that explains two things. Number one, then there seems to be a stira. Halach ba'anya, this is the poor bread our ancestors ate in Egypt. Sounds like, why do we eat matzah? We eat matzah because we were poor in Egypt and ate matzah. But it says at the end of the Haggadah, matzah shenoch on shemal, shem shelo hitzbek b'tzeik shenol v'seinu, atinigla le'am malchim lahachmetz. In the beginning of the Haggadah, it says, why do we eat matzah? Because we were poor in Mitzrayim. The end of the Haggadah says, why do we eat matzah? Because Hashem redeemed us lightning fast before we even had time for our dough to rise. So that makes sense based on the Ramban. Yeah, there are tzvei dinim in matzah. One din in matzah is that it reminds us of our oni and shibud. That's what we say at the beginning of the Haggadah. Another din of matzah is that reminds us of the lightning speed of the geula. And that we say at the end of the Haggadah. Why don't we pick one for the beginning of the Haggadah and one for the end of the Haggadah? Makes perfect sense, because what's the rule? Maslo b'gnus of asayim shvach. We start with the gnus of matzah, that it represents our low point. We end with the shvach of matzah, that after the geula represents our high point. This also explains something very interesting, in my humble opinion. One of the mysteries of halach ma'anya is the segue between the first two sentences of Maggid. First say, halach ma'anya ziachalav asana bi'arad mitzrayim. Which so far we've only seen one pshat of, which is that when we were slaves, we eat matzah. The next line says, "Kol dichvin yesev yecho, kol ditzruch yesev yisach." Whoever's hungry, whoever is poor, should come and eat with us. We invite in all the poor people. What does one line have to do with the next line? So I know two pshat, and I'm going to say a third. The Rav says that kol dichvin yesev yecho, kol ditzruch yesev yisach is davka an expression of chirus. What do we say? We say, we used to be poor in Mitzrayim, but now we're B'nai Chorin. Now we're free. What's the difference between a free person and an Eved? Right? As it says, an Eved can't invite guests to his food. He doesn't have Bailam. Calls Mashikana Eved Kana Rabo. He doesn't have Bailas to invite a guest and share things with others. An Eved can't share with others because he doesn't own anything to share with others. A ben chorin, he has his own property. And he can be selfish if he wants, but obviously a ben chorin, who's a good human being, is going to share with others. So the Rav says, davka, this is an expression of chayrus. The expression of chayrus is that we're not slaves anymore, now we can invite other people to our seder, and we show our chayrus by inviting other people to our seder. The Gruss said a different shot. The Gruss said that no, it ties into the mitzvah of matzah. Halach ba'anya, we have a mitzvah of matzah. And anyone know the famous drasha of the Gra? We have a minhag, the Rama says, mo schiten, right? The minhag is to collect money. I know now we say to help people make Pesach. But the original minhag of mo schiten for wheat. Money for people to buy matzah. Why is there a specific minhag to collect money for people to buy matzah? So you could say, well, it just makes sense. Like, people are poor, they need money. The Gra says, the Torah says, matzos ye'ochel l'shivas hayamim. Ye'achal doesn't mean eat matzah. It means matzah should be eaten. Why does it say matzah should be eaten and not you should eat matzah? So you should eat matzah means you should eat matzah. The rest of matzah ye'achal means you should make the matzahs be eaten by everyone. That it's your achrayus not just to eat matzah yourself, to make all the Jews eat matzah. Matzos ye'achal, you have to make sure the matzos are eaten by everyone. And that's how the Gemara explains the minigam of schitim. He thinks it's even doraisa or hinted at in the doraisa. Matzos ye'achal, you have to make sure that that matzos are eaten by all Jews. And that's how the Gemara explains. He says, halach ba'anya, this is matzah. Ah, if this is matzah, then, kol dichvin yesev ye'achal, if this is matzah, then we have to make sure that all the Jews have matzah to eat, so we invite in all the Jews. Now, you can understand this Gemara on different levels. On one level, you could just say, it's because matzah is so important. Matzah is so important, basic to Judaism. Sukkah is very important. But there's no din in the Torah that you have to make sure every Jew has a sukkah. Okay, it's just part of general chesed and tzedakah and being a nice person. Lulav and Esrog is important. No din in the Torah you have to lend everyone your Lulav and Esrog. It's just part of being a nice person. But matzahs are super important because it's Yetzias Mitzrayim, the beginning of all of Judaism. And therefore, you have to make sure everyone has matzah. So it could just be because it's such an important mitzvah. But I think there could be something deeper here. Halach ma'anyo, we were once poor. Right? This is an easy thought experiment to do. Let's say that a poor guy begging on the street, and two rich guys pass by. Reuven and Shimon, we'll call them. Reuven was brought up rich. He was rich all his life. The poor guy says, you know, can I have some money? Can you give me some money? Shimon used to be poor and homeless and live on the street. And then he somehow got a lucky break. So he got the Shemaya, etc. He turned his life around, and he now has a good job and a nice house and a fancy car, and he's a wealthy fellow. And he's passing this homeless guy begging in the street. So who's more likely to give the homeless guy money, Reuven or Shimon? Pashat Shimon, because Reuven, he can't empathize. He doesn't understand this. What are homeless people? Yeah, get away from me. Homeless people are dirty. I don't want you anywhere near me. And, you know, he says, it's your own fault because you should have gotten a job. And he has a million. It's just like, you always have a million explanations if you're not like, if you don't have a kesher with somebody, if you can't identify with them, then it's going to be very hard to like bridge that tremendous gap between the homeless guy and the rich guy and like really identify with him and feel his pain. Right? Shimon, on the other hand, he knows what it's like to be in that matzav. So Shimon's going to say, I understand exactly where that guy is holding. I understand what he's feeling. And his heart's going to go out to him and he's going to share with him. Explains the Rav. The Rav even once went so far as to say, why do the Jews have to go to Mitzrayim? He said, the Jews had to go to Mitzrayim. He didn't mean the only reason. Obviously, all these very, very basic things in the Torah, all of these have multiple reasons behind them, right? That's the difference between us and Hashem. When I do something, if I'm lucky, I have one reason for doing it, right? When Hashem runs history, there's always many deep reasons behind everything. But nonetheless, the Rav said, from one perspective, what's the point of the whole experience of Mitzrayim? So like this, v'haftim sager, ki gerim ha'yisam v'eretz Mitzrayim, and etc. The Torah says that many, many times in different words. It says the Torah wanted us to have sensitivity towards those who are less fortunate. Sensitivity towards those who are oppressed, towards those who are enslaved, towards those who are poor, towards those who don't have. And what did the Torah say? Remember, b'chol dover d'chayv adam liris etzatzmo, remember that you were also once this way. Feel the slavery a little. Eat the maror, eat the poor bread, feel the slavery a little. Right? Think about what it means. If you feel the slavery, then like that will be so like ingrained in our culture, in our sort of cultural DNA in our Masorah, that a Jew will always be able to empathize with those who are downtrodden and oppressed. That was one of the main reasons why Hashem sent us to Shiva and Sraya. The Rav even went so far as to say that there are some Jews nowadays who maybe they forgot what happened to their neshamas at Matan Torah, and they don't keep Shabbos, and unfortunately they don't eat kosher, and they don't keep all the mitzvahs of the Torah. But somehow their neshamas still remember Mitzrayim. Right? It says, wherever you go, the Jews are always social justice and charity and taking care of the poor and oppressed. The Rav says, why is that? I don't know what the other historians say. But the Rav says, because they're in their neshamas, they still remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. They still have this legacy of Yetzias Mitzrayim. If so, then it's Meduyak Lahafli. If Halach Ma'ani Diachalov Sanbiyar Mitzrayim means, don't remember yet that the matzah symbolized Geula. Now think of the matzah symbolizing Shibud. Remember, we were so poor, all we had was dry bread to eat. We had no time, we had no money, we had no nothing. We're the bottom of the bottom. Now you see a poor guy in the street, you're like, I was also poor once. You can imagine how he must feel, and then you're going to invite him in. Halach ma'anya leads to kol dichvin yesev yechol, kol ditzrich yesev yifsach. Asher, you could even read that into some level of meaning in the Gruz Drasha of Matzos Yachel. Davka the matzah, which reminds us of our ani, I was never an Ani Baruch Hashem. Probably most people in this room. And Amir Hashem, and she continued with us, and Zara is Zareinu, and Zara Zareinu. But I was, you know, 3,000 however much years ago, right? So if I can sort of put myself in that, oh, I was also once poor, then I'm going to look at the poor people a little differently. I'm not going to say I'm different than the poor people. I'm a different period than the poor people. I'm a different social class than the poor people. No, we're all the same. Just I happened to stop being poor 3,200 years ago, and you're still poor. But what's the difference? You know, we're all in the same boat. And then I'm going to have sympathy for maybe that's a little matzos yachel. When I eat the matzah, I think about giving everyone else as well. So that's one, I think, very interesting and important vart from the Rav. Now I want to go back and see a totally different mahalach. One mahalach was, this is all based on one mahalach. Halach ba'ani d'chol ha'vason ba'arid Mitzrayim, when we were slaves in Mitzrayim. But that's not what the Machzor Vitri says. That's what the Aruch Haschaim, the Avodram, and the Sfornos. It's not what the Machzor Vitri says. Says the Machzor Vitri says there aren't Tzvei Dinim and Matzah. No. Halach ba'anya, the Achalo Avosana, says the Machzor Vitri in his Perish here. For some reason, I don't see the Machzor Vitri in this one. It must be hiding someplace. But he says, "Dichsev vayofus abotzek asher hotziu mi Mitzrayim ha lachma anya deachol was under Mitzrayim." You know when we ate lachma anya? Not when we were slaves in Mitzrayim. When we were freed in Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, Hashem redeemed us so quickly that we didn't have time for the dough to rise. And vayofus abotzek asher hotziu Mitzrayim goes matzoski lo chametz ki gorshim Mitzrayim lo yachlu lasmameh vegam tzedal lo sulahem. That it means when we were nigalu. When Hashem saved us from Mitzrayim, we ate lachma anya in Mitzrayim. And it's not, there is no Tzvei Dina reminding us of the Shibud. The beginning of the Haggadah is the same as the end of the Haggadah. Ha lachma anya, this is the lechem oni that we ate in Mitzrayim because Hashem redeemed us so wonderfully, so majestically. There's only one din. Okay, if there's only one din in matzah, doesn't mean any of these other philosophical ideas are not true. It just means that maybe they're not tied into the matzah part of the Haggadah. If there's only one din in matzah, that raises an important question, which the Avodram discusses at the end of Magen in the name of Rav Yosef Kimchi. Let's pretend we live 3,300 years ago. I hope my numbers are not too off. In the time Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? Moshe comes to us, tells us, bring a carbon Pesach, eat it with matzah and maror. Okay, I asked my dad, why with maror? Says, come on, because obviously we're remembering how bitter our experience in Egypt was, and now it's going to come to an end. And that's Pasha Weimar. I asked my dad, Dad, why matzah? So according to the first shot, it makes perfect sense. Why matzah? So, my dad will only tell me one din. Why matzah? Just like Mara reminds us of our Shibud, our Oni in Mitzrayim. It's Lechem Oni. But according to this shot, if you say there's only one din in matzah, matzah only reminds us of Geula, then we're stuck 3,300 years ago. I'm asking my dad, Dad, why matzah? He's like, why matzah? What does matzah have to do with anything? He's not going to tell me, because tomorrow we'll leave so quickly. Right? He doesn't know that. So what's shot? So actually, the Avodram at the end of Magen on Matzah Zol Shoma, quotes from Yosef Kimchi, saying, you know why they ate matzah at the Pesach Seder? They ate matzah 3,300 years ago? Shashem Yodea Hasidos Yada Shahilam Latzik Mitzrayim Bichi Pazon. Hashem, who knew the future, knew that tomorrow they would leave Mitzrayim Bichi Pazon. They wouldn't have time to bake their bread, to make their bread, to leaven, or whatever you call it, their bread. And therefore, Hashem was mitzavah them to eat matzah on the Seder night to commemorate what would happen tomorrow, because Hashem knows the future. Okay, that makes sense. Hashem told him to do something which commemorates something that will happen tomorrow. But it makes sense for Hashem to do this. Hashem commanded them to do it every year. Right? So again, this year it's commemorating something that didn't happen yet. But it's okay, because like thousands and thousands of times it'll commemorate something that happened. So Hashem says, eat matzah at the Seder, not to remember the Shibud. Eat matzah at the Seder, only one din to remember the Geula. Matzah is the only reminder of the Geula. Okay? And every year after that, the kid would ask his father, Dad, why do we eat matzah? He would say, you have to see how this geula happened. This was not emancipation proclamation that after many years of lobbying and war and this and that, finally the slaves got free. Nope, this was one second we were slaves and Hashem with a gilui shechina overturned all the normal workings of history and redeemed us in 30 seconds. All right, that's Okay, here that brings an interesting question, though. Taka, what did the father tell his kid 3,300 years ago? Every year after that, we know what he told his kid. What did he tell him the first night? He says, Dad, why matzah? So what did he tell him the first night? Why matzah? L'chora, he told him the first night. Because that's what Moshe told us that Hashem commanded. Right? By the next day, he had a better answer. Right? By the next day, he had a better answer. L'chora, he told him, oh, because that's what Moshe told us that Hashem told him. And maybe if he was a philosophical dad, he said, ah, because that's what Moshe told us Hashem told him to command us. And Hashem always has a good reason. I'm just not sure yet what it is. And then the next day, remember I told you Hashem always had a good reason? Taka, he did. You see that it all works out. This is a famous ha'ara of the Beis Halevi. In the Beis Halevi in Parshas Bo, he has a sharp ha'ara about this, which is he reads this whole inyan of matzah as speaking to his time and place, the challenge of Judaism in his time and place, but in a way that's really eternal, challenge of Judaism that were in his time and place, and in many times, in many places throughout history. Says the Beis Halevi, I think this is his time and place, and our time and place, and many other times and places. He says, what's the biggest problem with Judaism nowadays? He says, because remember, the Beis Halevi is living in the modern era, right? When most of the people are going off the derech and reforming, or whatever they were in his town, and rejecting the authority of the Torah. What do people say? Say, the part of the Torah I understand, of course I'll do. But why should I do things that I don't understand? And more so, they would say, why should I do things that aren't relevant for me? I don't know, maybe they made sense for someone else. They're old fashioned, you know, maybe once upon a time they made sense. But I don't think this makes sense for me. This is not shaykh. I'm not going to do it if it doesn't make sense for me. That's what people, ad hayom hazeh, right? Everyone's in favor of all the parts of the Torah that make sense to them. I mean, it's the real kutz. Say, oh, I'll keep Hashem commandments that make sense to me. It just means I'll keep my own commandments, right? But no one's actually, except for us Orthodox people, no one's actually keeps, no one wants to do things that don't make sense to them. And I understand why. Because people don't like doing things that seem illogical to them. And the answer is going to be a little, and basically he says, what's the answer? He says, the answer is, Chazal tell us, the Ramban has a whole list of it in the 18th parak of these Chazals, in the 18th parak of Vayikra, that every mitzvah in the Torah has a very deep philosophical reason. Just, we don't know them all yet. Someday, not someday necessarily, I don't know how long I'll live and what'll happen until then, but someday, at the end of history, when Mashiach comes, you know, in the theoretical someday, we'll understand everything. He brings Rosh, the Paraduma doesn't make sense to us. When Mashiach comes, we'll understand Paraduma. Not necessarily because we'll be smarter. Maybe we'll just get more facts we didn't know yet. Right? So, says the Beis Halevi, he says, this is exactly the test of matzah. Matzah was a nisayon. He says, matzah was a nisayon. Moshe told him, eat matzah. And the guy would say, why should I eat matzah? Because Hashem said so. Hashem has a good reason, but I don't know what it is, because Hashem said so. So what happens? People who are willing to be Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, who are willing to put their faith in Hashem, says, okay, if Hashem said so, that's good enough for me, and they ate matzah. People who were just not willing to be mishabed themselves, not willing to give up on their independence of only doing things that made sense to them, they wouldn't eat matzah. And the Beis Halevi says that's exactly the exchange of the Ben Rasha. Says the Ben Rasha, Ma avodazos lachem, what does it mean to you? How does this make sense to you? Don't tell me what it says in an ancient scroll from thousands of years ago from your ancestors who were like primitive cavemen, whatever. Ma avodazos lachem, he says, today, where we live in our century, in our day and age, does this make sense to you? And what do we say back to the Ben Rasha? It's interesting. According to the Beis Halevi, we're not stomp smacking. I know it says Hakei Shiva, we smack on the face and make a sarcastic comment to him. No, we actually give a philosophical answer to the Ben Rasha. Hakei Yeshina, by giving a philosophical answer, what do we say? Lochem v'lo lo, u'lefi shehotzi yisas v'na klal kofar be'ikar, v'avda Hakei Yeshima v'amr lo, v'avrzeh sa Hashem li b'tzeisim Mitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Because I ate matzah, Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. Leave lo lo, ilohay shalom lo yiming. What do we say to him? We say to him, I don't have an explanation for everything. You want me to take every single 613 mitzvahs of the Torah and explain to you from a perspective of 21st century America how it makes sense to us? I can't. Or for that matter, you know, from, you know, early 20th century Lithuania. I can't. But I can tell you one thing. We had this story before. I've seen this play before. Right? 3,300 years ago, matzah didn't make sense to anyone. And you know what? Elo hayasham loya nigo. We're not giving him a muster shmooze. We're explaining to him philosophically. If you were there, you wouldn't have eaten the matzah because it made no sense. And if you didn't eat the matzah, you wouldn't have been redeemed. You know why? Because whoever ate matzah had a zechus, a mita keneged mita. It was redeemed so fast that they didn't have time for the chametz to rise. Whoever didn't eat matzah was left in Mitzrayim because they failed the test. Says you would have failed the test of Mitzrayim, and you know what? You would have felt really stupid the next day when you saw everyone else leaving Mitzrayim, and you said, "That's why we ate matzah. Of course, it makes perfect sense." And a few hours later, Hashem explained it all to us, and you would have been left behind because you didn't have patience to have emunah for a few hours in Hashem and trust that things make sense even if you don't understand them. And that's we're giving a philosophical explanation why he's wrong. Not that we can explain everything. But we're never going to be able to explain anything. If you have faith, eventually you'll see that there's an answer, either in your lifetime or sometime in history, and you'll be redeemed. And if you don't have faith, then it won't work. And that's, I think it really speaks very much to Judaism in the modern age. I just want to end with one possible ha'ara based on modern archaeology and history. Let's review the approaches we had. Let's go back to the question. Kid asked his father 3,300 years ago, what is this matzah? Why are we supposed to eat matzah? First answer was, the achol of a son of Arad Mitzrayim b'shibudan. Reminds us of our shibud. And then tomorrow they had a second din. Second answer is based on the Beis HaLevi. I don't know why. I'm eating it because I'm a Kabbalah of Tzivoy Hashem, and Hashem, he has a plan for, he has a reason for everything. And that's the Beis HaLevi, that's Ilu HaYasham Lo HaYamnigal. Maybe we can give a third explanation based on, the discoveries of modern history and archaeology. Not that matzah is similar to maror, but maybe instead compared to Korban Pesach. What does Rashi say? What's the point in Korban Pesach? The point of Korban Pesach is, obviously, there's only one explanation. That the Rashi says, the main point from Rashi's perspective in Korban Pesach is, we shech the gods of the Egyptian, right? Ki tov is a shrine called Roitzon, because they had a sheep god. We shech their gods, and that's why it was such a mysterious nefesh on Shabbos HaGadol, to v'lach lehem ish selabais avos selabais. They had to stand up to Egyptians and say, we're not afraid, we're standing up unabashedly and proudly and saying, not only do we have our own religion, but we're mevatel your religion. We're mevatel vodazara, and standing up for Achdus HaBor Yisbarach. Okay, that's Korban Pesach. It's interesting to note the idea of leavening. Once upon a time in history, when our ancestors were very, very primitive, or everyone's ancestors were very, very primitive, everyone ate matzah. I don't mean our matzah necessarily. It's Sephardi matzah, but the flat bread. You know, it could be soft, it could be hard. Flat bread that baked in 1 minute and didn't rise, had no yeast in it. There was yeast in the world, right? Hashem created yeast in Ma'aseh Bereishis, but yeast is a certain microorganism. It floats in the air. I don't know, maybe once some guy in the ancient times, was baking matzahs in his cave or hut or whatever, and some yeast spore landed on it, and he happened to get distracted, his wife got into a fight with a neighbor's wife, so he let it sit there, and some yeast spore landed on it, and voila, it all of a sudden started rising. He said, this is a delicious thing. I wonder how it happened. Okay, Beseder. At a certain point in history, they figured out, they didn't know the chemistry behind it, of microorganisms. They figured out, hey, there's this thing that makes this bread become super duper tasty. And they figured out how to make sa'or. What is sa'or? Sa'or doesn't mean yeast like we buy in the store now made of chemicals, Sa'or means if you have bread and you let it rise too much, it turns sour into sourdough. You let it rise too much, you chop it into 100 pieces, each of those pieces has yeast. You put it into a batch of dough and it makes it rise instead of the chemicals we buy nowadays. The chush of artisanal bakers nowadays still have their yeast. And then what happens when you use up all 100? You take the last one and you just let the dough rise too much. And then it becomes sa'or again. You chop it into 100 pieces. That's the chametz and sa'or. That's usher. Chametz is the edible stuff that rose the right amount. And sa'or is the inedible stuff that rose too much, but you can use l'chametz bo isos acheros. Okay, so, and then they had all this tremendous, delicious, like it was really a shidrug, a step up in the whole luxury of humankind. We used to only have this flat, tasteless stuff to eat. And now we have this fancy schmancy stuff, and we have a totally different level of luxury in our eating. We have a technological advancement. Okay, who made that technological advancement? Right? I don't know, was it the Mesopotamians? Was it the Chinese? Was it the Native Americans? Was it? So, the historians tell us, they're 99% sure, that ancient Egypt discovered leavening. This is a chiddush of ancient Egypt. That would actually make sense. A lot of things in the Torah. Ki lo yichlu mitzrim lachos evrim lechem. They wouldn't eat bread, maybe. Their bread was very special. They wouldn't eat that with other people, right? Vayazov kolashulo b'yad Yosef lo yadai tomo umakim alechem esher hu ochel. Which maybe, besides the Midrashic interpretation, Rashi quotes, maybe means, the lechem he wouldn't leave with Yosef. That had to be with a special priestly, you know, secret people who knew the secret Egyptian way of leavening bread, because it was a very chashiv thing. You know, there's a tremendous chashivas to lechem in Egypt. Why? Because they had better lechem than anyone in the world. They were technologically advanced. Now, what does it mean if Hashem tells us to eat chametz on the Seder night? Maybe there's a third shot of understanding the amkus of chametz. It says, my kid would ask me, Dad, why are we eating chametz? And I'd say to him, well, why are we eating matzah? I said to him, you know how there's lots of other countries in the world, maybe you've heard, where they don't have fancy stuff like Egypt, but Egypt is the most technologically advanced civilization ever and the most luxurious civilization ever and the top civilization in the world, and they have things no one else has, like bread, which is delicious and better than anything else in the world. I said, just like we shechted their gods, as far as I'm concerned, we can throw all their luxury and technology in the garbage as well. We don't need the religion of the Egyptians. I just shechted their god to their face. And we don't need their technological advancements either. We don't need their luxuries. We don't need the luxurious lifestyle of the Egyptians. All we need is to be an ad, to be a mamleches kohen if we go kadosh. Doesn't mean that you're never allowed to have chametz all year long. It means that when you're setting your priorities as to what we believe in, we don't believe in your religion, and you know what? We don't believe in your lifestyle either. We reject the Egyptian religion, we reject the Egyptian lifestyle. Maybe that's what it meant that first time. Okay, the next morning got a different meaning because they left so quickly. But I think that's also a message that's eternal and relevant for all times, if that's in fact a true pshat, part of Pesach, which is recommitting ourselves to our relationship with Hashem, right? The Shir Hashir in the beginning of that romance, the Lakakdis, Chem Lilam, Yisrael, Chem Lelokim, is sort of the most obvious part is that there's a lot of religion philosophical beliefs out there in the world. We have different, truer religion philosophical beliefs, and we reject those philosophical beliefs and cling to the philosophical beliefs of our Mesorah. But it's also true, and that's all year long, right? We shech devotees all year long. But it's also true that once in a while we have to say, you know what? There's a lot of nice gashmias out there in the world. There's a lot of technology. There's a lot of luxury. There's a lot of beautiful things in the lifestyle which are really enjoyable and make life more pleasant. Those are nice things when you put them in perspective. Everything in its proper place. But ultimately, those aren't important. Ultimately, when we're having our first Seder night of what's important in the world, what's important in the world is Hashem. What's important in the world is Torah. All of that is not important, and we could live without it. As long as we need to live without it, we can live without it. If it works with the Torah, we'll accept it. If it doesn't work with the more important things in life, we can live without all of it. And maybe that's part of the amkus of eating matzah. Okay, there's more to say about that, but that'll have to wait for next year.